and welcome to episode 112 of Taking the Charge podcast with you from Regensburg, Germany. I am David Hein of Hein News. This is the second adventure, if you will, on my own without Oz Davis. Hoping that you're still liking the show. It's still a pure joy for me. Hopefully I'm bringing that across to everyone out there. Today we have an interview with a real expert in the field of Turkish basketball. Everybody out there knows how much I love Turkish basketball, so it was a real pleasure to get to talk to John Pilister, international basketball scout / consultant, a know-it-all guy who just is a total expert in the game. And he won't be a consultant, a freelance consultant, very much longer, I don't think. I think an NBA team will probably snatch him up before too much longer if that's what John wants. So I talked to him, and otherwise taking a look around the basketball world. Go to EuroLeague really quick. Olympiacos have found a new coach. There were some names being bounced around, among them being Chris Fleming, but they decided to bring in Giannis Sofopoulos, who had been with Panathinaikos. It's a nice addition. I think that you got to bring a Greek guy in who knows the situation, who knows everything the rivalry with hated enemies, Panathinaikos, knows about it and can deal with the pressure of the job. And I think they found that it was hard. Olympiacos found that it was hard to bring somebody in from the outside who would be willing to take a gig where really you lose one wrong game. Doesn't even matter if you have a good season. If you lose one wrong game, that being the Panathinaikos game, you're gone. So I think it's a good signing. We'll have to see how he does down the road. But I think they'll be okay. This is a EuroLeague team, a EuroLeague Final Four quality team, as we've talked about in the past. And I think that if he can, if they respond to him, if he comes up with some good game planning. Having a guy like Spanoulis on the court as your main guy is always a lot easier. But 47-year-old Giannis Sefapoulos is the new man at Olympiacos. Speaking of Spanoulis, the guy, he's 32, some people might have been wondering against Laboral, where he goes 1 of 9 from the field, scores only 9 points, 6 turnovers. Is he on the down? Is he on the down sway? And the old man, I can't really call him old man at 32, shows that he's definitely got more than enough in the tank still. Comes up with 34 points in the overtime win over Neptunas, to go along with 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 2 steals, 34 performance index rating. The top, surprisingly enough, the top ranking in his career. I found that quite surprising the most points. The top performance index rating was in January against Fenerbahce, a 39. Olympiacos remain undefeated in Group D. there's still 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 undefeated teams. CSKA Moscow in Malaga in Group B, Real Madrid in Group A, and Barcelona in Group C. As far as teams struggling, Sassari being at 0-3, Berlin being 0-3, and Valencia being 0-3 are all kind of a little bit of surprises. Alba Berlin may be a little bit less, knowing that they had two home games against CSK and Maccabi. You know, and those are two games that you could definitely lose. So them being an 0-3, you know, with those two games where you kind of think you might lose, I still think they still have a pretty good chance of getting into that, getting into the top 16. And the loss was a heartbreaking loss at Unicaja in week two. Still, despite the record, still definitely in the race. You know, you have Moscow and Malaga both being 3-0, and then Maccabi being 2-1. But then you have Limoges and Cedevita. Limoges being 1-2, and Cedevita at 0-3. So, you know, it looks like right from the get go, it looks like that might be a three team race for that fourth spot. Other than that, you know, Milan, was at the Munich-Milan game, Bayern Munich, Armani-Milan game, and they picked up a huge road win in Munich. Both teams now 2-1 in fourth and fifth place, ahead of winless Tirov. You know, it was definitely a victory that Milan definitely needed, and Bayern definitely have to go into, you know, definitely come out and say, you know, we couldn't really afford to give that one away, and they actually did give that one away. They were down by 15 points after 5 minutes, came back and just didn't perform down the stretch. You know, there's you know, we're 3 weeks in, three games in, and still plenty of still looks like there's going to be a lot of races to be decided. You know, Shagiris, I think, is one team that might be surprising a little bit to some people. 2-1, Anadolu Efes. We talk about Anadolu Efes with John. So I'll kind of leave that one a little bit open to wait. Have you just wait for that one? Moscow take on Malaga, so we'll be one less undefeated team. You know, the Red Star Olympiacos game is going to be interesting on Friday night. So EuroLeague is definitely picking up and definitely. Creating some good storylines. NBA, you know that the Cavs have kind of come out of the gates a little bit sputtering. Lost at home to the Knicks on opening day for them at home. And then dropped another game, and a pretty interesting matchup with the Portland Trailblazers. A buddy of mine has them going to the final, actually winning it. Interesting game there. Cleveland now down to 1-2. You have to figure that there was going to be some growing pains to start with. You know, LeBron just trying to figure everything out, trying to figure out, you know, who these guys, who they are, where they are, what they're doing, what they can do, what they like to do, and then you know, them also trying to figure out what he does, and all the while trying to figure out what Coach David Blatt wants to have them do. As far as the rest of the league, you know, Kobe goes up and I think shot 37 shots yesterday in a loss. Yeah, that's just an ugly team. The Lakers, Rockets. Rockets have started extremely well, 5-0. Memphis at 4-0. Chicago, Miami, Toronto, all as well as Washington, all being 3-1 at the top of the Eastern Conference. I think pretty much none of those are real shocks. Miami playing pretty well, even without LeBron. Quite a bit of good stuff out there. Golden State's only played 3 games. They're 3-0. It'd be nice to see them play some more games. I think they're going to be a fun team to watch the entire season, Golden State. Let's just jump into the interview. For those longtime listeners just trying to figure out what we're going to be doing, I think what we'll do is we'll kind of just give a quick rundown, a thought or two about what's going on in NBA and in EuroLeague, maybe a couple of leagues here and there, and then just jump into the interview. I think the interviews are going to be the real meat of this podcast. And then what I'll probably try to do is kind of take some of the news that's going on and build them into the interview, talk to some, personalities that sort of are in the direct, are right in the middle of the news and everything that has to go around with that. So without further ado, here's my chat with John Pollister, the fantastic international basketball scout and consultant. All right, so this week on the show we have John Pollister, international basketball scout and consultant, basketball connoisseur. If anything's going on in Turkey and around Turkey, John is there. So, John, welcome to the show.
Hey, Dave, what's up?
Not too much. Not too much. Finally have somebody on to talk some Turkish basketball, which obviously a lot of people who listen to the show and a lot of people who know me know that I really, really, really like. Maybe before we actually dip into Turkish basketball, I wanted to maybe get your opinion about a move in the EuroLeague. The fact that Olympiakos have signed Giannis Seferopoulos as the new coach. Obviously, people might know him being a little bit with the Greek national team. He was also assistant coach with CSKA Moscow, but he also was coach over at Panathinaikos. Which is, I guess, probably one of the top competitors for third place, which is the usual, running in Greece behind Olympiakos and Panathinaikos. There were some foreign names that were being bantered around, and I imagine that this is a really tough position for anybody outside Greece, because there's going to be so much turmoil and there's going to be so much looking upon this coach. What do you think about this signing? They've given him the rest of this year and next year.
I believe that Seferopoulos is a good choice for Olympiakos. Because, obviously they didn't want to continue with Tomic, who served, long years as an assistant to Olympiakos after his playing career. So, he knows the club, obviously, and he's, as far as I know and what people told me from Greece, he's a good coach and should be a good addition, but let's see first, because Olympiakos is a club that has expectations, and if you want to stay there, you have to be successful. Same like Turkey. In Mediterranean countries, we have lots of ups and downs, and the people who pays wants to get some cups. So obviously Olympiakos has to at least, let's say, qualify to the top 8, and then their target should be Final Four, as far as I can see. But I believe this year, qualifying to the Final Four is very hard, and lots of teams investing a lot of money, so his job will not be easy, but he has a leader named Vasily Spanulis.
it's always a little easier when someone like him is on your team.
Yeah, I mean, last week, they say he's old, but doesn't matter, you know. He's still, you know, in shape, and he still can lead a EuroLeague team at the best level. So you gotta always. I mean, last week, Panathinaikos beat Fenerbahce by 20. Everybody was saying before the game that Panathinaikos is the worst Panathinaikos, and Fenerbahce is the best Fenerbahce, and everybody expecting Fenerbahce to win the game. But I say, just a minute, this is Panathinaikos, and they are playing in Orca. That's it. So, and they still have Diamantidis, which is a great leader for any EuroLeague team. So you gotta always be, you know, be careful when you go and play against those teams: Olympiakos, Panathinaikos, Maccabi. Those are teams with a tradition. You know, you never can say we go and we win. You know, you cannot say that because they are traditional teams. They are in EuroLeague competing more than 10 years, and they are, you know. Doesn't matter how talented players you have, let's say. So I think good addition for Olympiakos. We will see.
Let's go to the teams that the EuroLeague teams that you know a little bit better. Obviously, four of them in the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. You have Anadolu Efes, which is at 2-1, as is Fenerbahce Ulker, whereas Galatasaray. I guess I thought there was a fourth one. No, I guess there's three.
Yeah.
Galatasaray right now is at 1-2. Thoughts about those three teams? Obviously, FS hasn't seen Dario Saric play much right now. Fenerbahce, you know, in my eyes, still seems to be lacking that big, and then I'll come back to Galatasaray. Maybe give me your reflections on Efes, Anadolu Efes, and Fenerbahce Ulker.
Yeah, first of all, about Anadolu Efes, I was at their game against Karşıyaka last weekend, and they lost to they won. They won against Karşıyaka, but they lost their center and the best player. I mean, on their team, I guess, Benat Krstić. So he will be out for 2 months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's a big miss, and it's a big, you know, loss for them. So now I'm hearing that from the websites on the internet, Slovenian website, is actually Kosar Kasi, maybe, reported that Mirza Begic on the way to Anadolu Efes. I still didn't have any confirmation on that, but I'm sure they will add a center because, I mean, I don't think that Ivković will continue playing only Lasme and back up him with Emircan Kuşt. So, I mean, they will add center, obviously. About Anadolu Efes, I think their weaknesses is definitely on point guard position. Last week against Žalgiris, that was a very important win for Žalgiris, and at the same time very big loss for Efes because they won their first two games. On the road, Sassari was important, and the first game, Yunus Kazan didn't seem ready to compete at the EuroLeague level. But Žalgiris came there with a good, they prepared the game good. Ulan Novas was very good. I mean, he surprised everybody, 92 born, and he scored like 19 points, 7 rebounds. Also, other player that I liked from that game was, he had 2 points, 1 rebounds, I know that, but he has upside, Gudaitis, and Coach Krapikas told us very good insights on him after the game. So to Anadolu Efes is seems good, but Krstić, they lost Krstić, and that's a big loss for them. I believe they will qualify to the top 16, but after top 16, I don't see them making final eight this year. And Dario Šarić also had an injury, that's why he didn't play. And I think his injury is not serious, but he would be available on this week's game. But in my opinion, they are lacking the point guard spot a lot because Draper is not a great leader, you know. He's a good pick and roll player. He can shoot the ball, some, you know, not consistent shooter though. And his backup is Dolo Štava. He's, you know, can't make plays for others. So, and they had only 10 assists, you know, which is not a good number. And
well, I mean, they could also go a little bit through Dario too, right? I mean, he's, you know, his passing abilities and his vision of the floor. I'm sure that Ivković would like to be able to do some more things, you know, with him. I mean, he's averaging 2.5 and 3.5 assists, and you know, during the season. I mean, he is able to pass around the ball a little bit more, and yeah, that kind of helps as well when he comes back. So.
That can help, but that cannot solve the problem, I think, David, because, I mean, okay, Šarić is good, but Šarić forces a lot, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
They wanna make him like an isolation player, and FS generally playing isolation, you know? And, I mean, he's easy to predict, you know, in the games that I saw. Okay, Dario has a great pass skills, he has great passing skills, but I mean, you cannot expect Dario to make all the plays to others. That will not happen. So
he has to do everything. He has to do everything, man.
They had also Donnie McGrath, which didn't play any game so far.
What's the status with him? What's the deal with him?
He came here. He's practicing, but didn't play even a second. So I don't understand why they get him, why they sign him a 2 month or 1 month contract. And plus, Zoran Planinic is still in Istanbul and getting his money, you know. he's practicing individually. I saw some pictures. He played some football with the staff of Anadolu people. So, I mean, he's enjoying like a retirement, you know, last year maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
And so... FS big problem is point guard, and with Krstić out, they definitely need a center, because Lasme cannot be the, you know, guy who plays 30 minutes every game, your starter center, you know. Yeah. With Krstić and Lasme, it was very good. And Krstić against Žalgiris had a very good game. 25 rankings, 22 points in 23 minutes. That's a game changer, you know. Krstić, when you put the Krstić in the game, his game comes too easy to him, you know. Nobody can guard him in the same Turkey league, so that will be a problem.
Let's move over to Galatasaray, and I think the question out there is what's the status of Nolan Smith? Is he gone? If he is. Is that gonna solve the problems? Obviously, Coach Ottoman had a lot of problems with injuries last year, you know, he's trying to bring in like four or five different guys for this year. Talk about where Galatasaray are right now.
First of all, Galatasaray had president elections, and they have now new president. Because ex-president, they forced him to resign. And so now, first of all, Galatasaray's problem is money, you know.
Yeah.
They are not paying players money and salaries, and many players go against them, you know, they are not getting paid. Second, Nolan Smith now is out of roster still. And he's still in Istanbul, but he will not return to team as confirmed by Ergin Ataman. So they are trying to solve the contract, and obviously Nolan's contract is guaranteed, so he wants his money. I think they will try to solve it, but first they have to pay the players, you know? They cannot anybody without paying to these players. They actually look on market, they are still searching to guard, but you know, they don't have money. I think financial problems will decide the Galatasaray's future. I believe they are a good team. I believe they had good players to their rosters, their roster. For me, there are two questions for Galatasaray. First, financial problems, and second, how Arroyo alone as a leader can carry the, you know, carry this team on his shoulders. You know what I mean? Because last year, if you remember, he Galatasaray was successful last year. They made it to final, it's right? Top 8. So it was a
Despite all of the
successful
injuries
year.
that they have, despite all the
Yeah,
injuries, yeah.
and plus that series, Calasaroyo injured. You know, and the thing is, I'm saying again, Arroyo can lift the team to that point, maybe let's say top 16, but. Galatasaray, after EuroLeague games, let's say Galatasaray played Thursday in Barcelona, and example, and let they play Sunday in Gaziantep. That hurts players, you know. And Arroyo is old. I'm not saying he's not good, but he's old, and that's why they got Nolan Smith. And now, because of Nolan Smith, Arroyo again started playing 30 minutes every game, you know. And nobody can back up him, and let's say get Arroyo some rest. So problem for me seems first financial about Galatasaray, and second, if Carlos Arroyo will stay healthy, or if they will add some player, if they will solve the problems, then if they add some good player, they actually looked on market, as far as I know. But, you know, we will see. And plus, Nathan Jhawar and Jan Vyuka still not contributing any real thing to the team. And with that said, Furkan Özdemir is playing very good. And it surprised me, but they need a center also. They need some center contributions. So for me, Galatasaray group is tough. Because they have like Zvezda, Valencia, Laboral, who wants to qualify, and Neptunas also, I mean, can be a surprising team, and they beat Zvezda. So they have to beat Neptunas this week first, and then they will try to qualify. But, I mean, there are some problems that Ataman cannot solve, like financial things. We will see.
I could probably ask you about every Turkish team, and I know. I mean, this interview could probably go for 4 hours, but I know everybody doesn't want to listen to it. So, but a team that I do want to talk about is Doğuşofaka, Doğuş.
Doğuşofaka,
The Turkish second division champion from last year.
yeah.
And right now, right up there with everybody else, at 3-1, you look at the roster. You have a great coach in Mahmoudi. You have lots of very talented veteran players. Jamaat Gordon, Visper, Saibudis, Lynn Greer, Erwin Dudley. How good is this team that probably most people don't know much about? And how realistic is it that this team will be up in the top, let's say, 4 or 5 when it's all said and done at the end of the year?
First of all, team is owned by Ferit Şahenk, who is owning Doğuş Group, and this is the richest, maybe the person living in Turkey right now. And he bought Doğuşofaka. He bought actually like 2 years ago, and he invested a lot of money. Club is and the gym nearly changed. They have everything brand new, and the president of the club is İbrahim Kutluay, who was a commentator on MTV Sport and, you know,
long time national team player. Yeah.
Yeah, and they have a couple of ex-basketball players, local players in the junior system, and, you know, they're a great organization who wants to be. When you enter the Darush Afaka gym, there's a banner up there and says, our target is Euroleague. So they can.
What does it say? Sorry?
The banner says that Darush Afaka Dosh target is Euroleague, you know, something like that. So from money and financial wise, they can.
Well, I was going to say, with this roster, this roster is not as deep, you know. Let's say, you know, it goes seven. You know, it can go seven, you know, deep, you know, maybe eight, but, you know, you know, obviously first year in the league. All right, okay, cool. The chances that they'll be around? Obviously, this is probably the team that can't afford injuries more than anybody else, right?
Yeah. I mean, in my opinion, they are good, but let's see. I mean, they have a great talent on the roster, so players that, you know, easily can play EuroLeague. But I watched their games through Telecom against. I like them, but let's see. I mean, their first year in TBL, not the clubs, but the Darush Afaka Dosh organization is first year. So I believe they are a good team. They have a talent on roster, which can play in Galatasaray, let's say, FS. So it's interesting team and interesting organization to follow in the future if they will be consistent, you know?
Yeah, that's definitely a team that I will be on the lookout for. As the listeners know, and as you know as well, obviously we saw each other this summer at the U18s there in Turkey. I love the kids, and there's loads of super talented youngsters. Everybody had a good idea that Osman would probably be able to hold his own a little bit, especially since he was at the World Cup as well. Touch a little bit on what you think. I am looking for his name right now. Furkan Korkmaz, what he's doing. I mean, he's still only 17. What he's doing at Anadolu Efes, is he only practicing with the senior team? Is he playing at all with a junior team, or is he solely with the senior team? And what do you think about Korkmaz?
Yeah, as you say, Jedi is now, after playing the senior team and senior national team in World Cup, I'm counting him like a senior player, you know, not a young.
Yeah. Even though he's not even 20 yet, but.
Yeah. I know, but anyhow, his experiences is a lot. So, Furkan actually plays, and Jukovic, when he came, took Furkan to Slovenia for the camp, and he practiced and played good. Then Dušan Ivković decided to Furkan Korkmaz to play only for Anadolu Efes senior team. Okay. They have a team named Pertev Nial, who plays second division, and they have two licenses that can use both in Anadolu Efes and Pertev Nial. So Ivković used that for Emircan Košić and Okan Ulubay, and he said that at the beginning of the season that Furkan Korkmaz will practice with Anadolu Efes and will play with Anadolu Efes. Okay. Obviously, injuries of Birkan Batuk and Cenk will help it, because Anadolu Efes is making a lot of 2-3 position touch players. So now Furkan actually averaging like 15 minutes in TBL after 4 games. Mm-hmm. And
as a 17-year-old.
Yeah, as a 17-year-old. And, I mean, of course, he's not shooting the lights out like he done in Konya. How was the percentage? Like 40-something, like, right? Yeah. In Konya, he averaged, like, his shooting percentage was crazy after the tournament.
He was amazing.
Yeah. In Efes, step by step, you know, after playing junior, it's hard, you know, it's not hard, but it needs time to gain his confidence, self-confidence. He's a good kid, he's a really good kid, and from the mental and attitude part, I can say that He is ready for any level. He is, you know, a very good person. And I believe that Furkan will be the biggest NBA talent of Turkey with the time, because he has the athleticism, he can shoot the ball, and he has an amazing defensive potential. And my comparison that I write to, actually, I wrote some reports on him to a couple of teams, and NBA teams also. My comparison is longer version of the Rudy Fernandez.
That's not far off.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy can shoot the ball, not consistently, but like Furkan, I mean, Furkan also good shooter, not great yet on senior level, which I think can be better than Rudy. And Rudy is very freakish athleticism, and Furkan also has it. So, and he's like listed now 6'7", something like that. He's 203, maybe longer. So Furkan will be, I mean, not draft eligible this year, but he can enter 2016 draft. And many NBA scouts and personnel that I met here and I talk sees Furkan as a, you know, biggest NBA potential in from the 97 class from Europe. So we will see. He's doing fine.
The MVP of that tournament was
Güven.
He's at Kasayaka. Maybe just give us an update how he's doing over there.
Actually, you know, after the long situation, which led to not practice with Kasayaka in summer time to Egemen, because family of him and his agents wanted to have an NBA buyout and have a guaranteed contract. So at the end, they got what they need and they got what they want. And Güven stayed in Kasayaka. He played three games, didn't play in FS game last weekend, though, but he averaged 12 minutes. So he's doing fine, but I don't expect him to play this year too much, because he has a Juan Palacios, as a starter. Usually Coach Sarja using him as a backup to him. And so I think this year he will not have a breakout season, but after this year practicing with seniors, you know, after playing also U19 World Championship in Kuwait, I think, and he will be better and better. And then I see him definitely as a lottery pick for the next draft, not this, but the 2016 draft. And I guess Draft Express has him as a 10th pick of that draft. I believe he will be good, but he needs time, you know.
Yeah, everybody trying to think of the other, who was the other sort of bigger player from
Ibak, Olmaz.
Olmaz. Everybody liked him, and right from the first day of even Albert Schweitzer, I just fell in love with everything that Güven could do, and then he just built on that even more at the U18s. Kenneth Sapahi had the serious injury at the end of the year last year. I guess could have been forced back to play national team over the summer, but just makes no sense as far as his youth and the development, everything else that's ahead of him.
Yeah.
How is he doing back on the court now? I guess 2-3 months now into the season after that leg injury.
Yeah, first of all, Kenan is looking bigger, stronger, and better from the physical standpoint compared
always a good thing to hear.
yeah. He worked individually a lot during his rehab, and every NBA people saw him this year so far says he looks way better than the past from physical standpoint. But the thing is, after that kind of injury, because he had a broken hand, but after that, it took a long, and he had some couple of more problems with his end, and his injury was bad. He's still trying to gain his confidence back, self-confidence, which we like most in him. He's not afraid to do anything. Mm-hmm. He's looking very, very mature, but now he's still trying to find his rhythm. And obviously, Fenerbahce is in trouble. I mean, Fenerbahce fans and everybody in club wants to see something. And we will see. I mean, Kenan is one of the best prospects, but, he needs also time to adjust the game again, because he was not bigger as he is now in the past, and he's still trying to use that strength as a, tool in game, but we will see. I mean, Kenan is good kid, he's working hard, and always the Joko Bradovic is the best coach that he can work, and I see a bright future for him, but he needs to, gain his self-confidence back again.
A lot of these guys, people know as well. Couple now that people might not know much about, and actually I don't know much about either, but have been mentioned them. One of them is Baris Ulker from 97, who apparently is in the U.S. at a high school. I have an affinity for smooth lefties, and I was told that I would like this guy. Do you know much about Baris Ulker, 97 generation?
Yeah, definitely, because he was a player, like we say, he was a kid when he was there playing for his father's club. And that time, Anadolu Efes, everybody wanted him with big buyouts. But kid decided to go America and then college, because he think that was better. That time, I think he's a great prospect. I mean, from 97, he appeared on Basketball Without Borders. To be honest, I saw him playing in Kyiv, but after that, he's playing there, and I couldn't have a chance to see him more.
Right.
But I can say that he's long, but can play also point guard. I mean, like let's say Tolga Gechin, if we compare from all junior players, who is long but can play, with the ball. He likes to have the ball in his hands. He can create plays for his teammates. He can shoot the ball. He's a good player. I will definitely will be following him under 18 European Championship this summer.
Is he going to be, since high school kids just tend to be smaller, is there a danger that he's going to be put in the post just because he's a little bit bigger, longer, whatever, and that he might lose a little bit of his handle because he's down low in that regard, or what do you think, or do you not know?
I believe in Turkey, if he stays in Turkey, they would use him as a four. I mean, I don't know how his coach using him in States, but I predict as a point three. Okay. And I believe that we make a mistake under 16 in Kyiv, that we use him wrong position. I believe Baris is more like a 3-1, position 3-1.
Okay.
He can play with the ball.
A point
and
forward.
When you had Furkan Korkmaz, coach couldn't give the ball, so we had a trouble there.
Yeah.
And I believe he's like a point three, I think his future position will be point three, because he has good ball handling skills.
I want to go down to the 99 generation. I know people might be wondering what the heck I'm doing here, but I've been told that there's loads and loads of talent in the 99 generation, and I guess one of the top guys is Unalip Petim, who was on the U16s this past summer, shooting guard, thoughts about him.
He's the son of a former basketball player Mustafa Kemal Bitim, and he transferred to FS a summer ago, 2013 summer, and he used to play with you know, always in junior teams for the bigger, you know, like he was playing with 18-year-old with when he was 15, let's say. So that's that was definitely an advantage for him, and he used that very well. And the team that he was playing was, you know, built around him. So they push him and they take care of him good. And now he's playing for Efes under 16. He's athletic, can shoot a little bit. I don't trust his shot. I cannot. I mean, if I'm a coach, I cannot rely on his shot yet because he's too streaky, you know. And but he's a great athlete. He has good skills. I believe he's good. But I always wanna see those guys. One more. I mean, okay, he played under 16, but you know, I wanna see what he can do in his, you know,
age group, right?
Yeah. Now that will be better to watch him in Sakarya first, under 16 tournament. Then after that, of course, European Championship. But I believe we have a good players in 99. We have also a point guard, Enis Sipahi, cousin of Kenan Sipahi.
Cousin,
he's
okay.
Not, uh-huh. Yeah, he's not, you know, he's small, not Kenan Sipahi long, but also an interesting prospect. Definitely would be something, but we need to see him in Europe level also. I believe we have a good generation up there. A couple of players are interesting. And after European Championship, we can talk about them a lot more.
Yeah, and of course...
And of course, the prospect, we missed 98, Ömer Fargürtseven, you know. He was all-tournament team in under 16 in Riga. And he's now practicing with Fenerbahce senior team. And I believe he's one of the NBA prospects that we have right now in the golden generation. We say like 95 to 98, you know.
Who was that again?
Ömer Yurtseven. Center. He was also in Jordan Brand. I believe he's a very good prospect. And definitely practicing with the Jan Veselý, Nemanja Bjelica. Those players will help him, you know.
Nice guys to practice with.
Yeah.
Come on, internet, it's slow here. That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted to give us a guy that people might not know. Hang on a second. Let's see this. You said 98, right? So 98. So
yeah.
He'll be doing U18s this year then, huh?
Yeah, he will be starter for under 18 team. And definitely will be a player to look out, you know, because after practicing with Jelko Bradovic and those players, and he will definitely will be playing EuroLeague Junior Tournament, probably Kaunas, and he's a great prospect. He's one of the players that I think will be NBA draft pick for sure.
I'll probably ask this for the for the league as well, but is there a way to catch much of the Turkish youth leagues? Maybe first give us a quick rundown what there is. I mean, in Germany there's a U16 league and there's the U19 league. What is there in Turkey?
We have under 14, under 16, and under 18 categories, and it's like Istanbul, Izmir, Big Cities have a league, and Istanbul, Izmir, Bursa, Ankara, and I think one, two more cities have the league. And the top teams, let's say from Istanbul, from each league, top three teams are qualifying to the Turkish Championship directly, and then you know, the other two teams playing with the teams coming up from low divisions for playoff games. So it's complicated, actually. Okay. And then from the other cities, because, you know, Turkey has 81 cities, after these big cities, we have like 10 10 or 15 teams coming from big cities, and then there are regional and Anatolian championships, which are deciding who will come to big Turkey championship, which is taking on May. And it's complicated. I mean, it's even hard for me to follow. Obviously, we don't have anything like I saw a German GBBL, right? Or NBBL.
Right. JBBL and NBBL, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they have Twitter accounts. They have everything. So you can follow even if you are from Turkey. But we don't have something like that.
Okay. So there's no real way for anybody who doesn't understand Turkish to follow.
Yeah. Even if he understands Turkish, he has to come and go to them. They don't. I mean, there is nothing.
There's no internet presence either.
Yeah, no.
Okay. Turkish league. How was the TV situation not necessarily even the TV situation, because people might not have Turkish television, but let's say the internet streaming situation in Turkey.
Yeah. First of all, TBL started. It was like a month ago, and we still don't have a website for the league. So, I mean, for the television, I'm told by my friends that some TV channel named Sport Club, maybe something like that, bought TBL rights for publish it in ex-Yugoslavian countries. But, I mean, for Turkey league, if you are a foreigner, it's very hard to follow, you know. We don't have any streams for outside, and league doesn't have even now website. TBL wants to be the best league, one of the best leagues in Europe, but comparing to Germany, German BBL website and the press is awesome. I mean, I like it very much. I mean, I can watch all the games with high quality. First and second, website, I can find everything that I want. But if you want to watch the game, you cannot watch TBL outside of Turkey. And if you want to access on some statistics, some stuff, you cannot. You know, that's a subject that we can talk for hours. to sum up, TBL, marketing, PR, let's say every of these things, media, everything is sucks, you know. It's very bad.
All right. I would love to talk hours with you, but unfortunately I probably shouldn't. But I do want to ask you one other thing, because you know, you brought up the financial difficulties that Galatasaray are having right now. And it's a club that's been that's really been up there challenging for the last 2-3 years, the last 2-3 years. There's the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague. There's the Beko BBL, and probably five other leagues in Europe. There's lots of money in Turkey, but the question is, let's say, how safe economically is the Turkish league? Sort of, what's the financial state of the league in general?
First of all, Beko is withdrawn from sponsoring TBL. From they were like 5-6 years, maybe more, sponsor, and they are no longer a sponsor of Turkish basketball league. So that's big.
They're not sponsoring even the Turkish league anymore.
Yeah, not anymore.
Wow.
So that's bad. And the thing is, Turkish Airlines also is not sponsoring the league. We don't have a sponsor in the league right now.
There's no league title sponsor.
No. And plus, the federation agreed with some company named Infront, and they are not allowing clubs to put some stickers on the court, you know, some banners or something. They have their own slogan named, like, Legends on the Rise. They are putting this and TBL logos everywhere. And so now, from the financial standpoint, Galatasaray made agreement with Liver Hospital, but obviously it's not enough, because they are creating a roster with much more money and they cannot afford. For Fenerbahce, it's no problem. Ülker is a very strong company, and they are most of the team's budget are sponsored by Ulker. Anadolu Efes, obviously, you know, and they don't have, I mean, right now, financial problems. But other teams, except Darüşşafaka Doğuş, everybody can be in trouble tomorrow, you know. It's not safe. I mean, and the many teams are not paying. For Karşıyaka, Pınar is sponsor. They are also good sponsor, but they are paying what they told. They cannot pay one more euro, you know.
Yeah.
So clubs have to, I mean, first of all, clubs has to have a GM, you know, who knows the basketball, who knows their market, you know. And we don't have this. So from the organization base, many of the clubs are, you know, struggling. And okay, there's money in Turkey right now, but there cannot be money in like 5 years if they go like this, you know, many clubs. So,
well, that's what I was thinking. I mean, you look at all of these, even the coaches. I mean, Ivković and Obradovic, you know, these are some big-time name coaches that themselves take a lot of money away. You know, that's one of the things about Germany is that, you know, not to hammer home the point that the German league is awesome or anything like that, but all of the money that, you know, the budgetary procedure is so strict that you know, they have to present their books a number of times each year. And then you see all of these big contracts coming from Turkey. I mean, you wonder, you have to wonder a little bit if it's not if it's not a problem, or if it might not become a problem.
Yeah, I believe now there is money in Turkey, and looks like there will be money. Let's say for 4 years, but for the future, clubs has to plan. You know, has to make plans and have to make, you know, have to have a person, you know, who knows the basketball, but more financial things. There are a couple of teams that I can say showing great progress for that. I mean, but generally, okay, Fenerbahce has money, Efes has money, Darüşşafaka Doğuş has money, Telekom has money, but other old teams are question for me. They are, some of them, yeah, paying. Oh, they also have money now. But some of the teams are paying now, but they cannot pay maybe tomorrow, you know. So I think league and the teams are, you know, are far away being the best league in the Europe yet, in my opinion.
John, I could talk to you forever, and I look forward to seeing you definitely over the summer. Are you going to be coming out to Germany at all for any of the games?
Maybe. I'm actually. I was planning, but I'm not sure. Maybe for this JBBL or something, Final Four or something.
Yeah, that's actually during the NIJT Final Four. That's during the final EuroLeague Final Four. So
I will definitely look out, but for sure other year I will come to Albert Schweitzer. So.
Yeah,
we can eat some German Turkish döner.
Some German Turkish döner. Yes.
Yeah, definitely.
Fantastic. You know what? Okay, so let people know where they can find you on Twitter, Instagram, anything else. You're also with trendbasket.net. Take the floor.
Yeah.
Let people know how they can follow you. He's a great follow on Twitter. Just tell everybody how they can follow you.
Yeah, they can follow me on Twitter, obviously, HCAMPELISTER. My name is John Pelister, so they can find me out on Twitter, and they have my email up there in bio. So anybody has to, you know, follow me, they can follow me from there, and if they want to ask some questions, I'm open 7/24, you know.
And who's the picture of who's your avatar on Twitter?
it's the one of the greatest film characters, so they can know about it when they enter.
Okay, excellent. John,
better than from yours, Dave.
What's
not
that?
Better from them.
What's not, that?
His hat is not better than your hat, you know.
Hey, I'm gonna get a. I'm gonna. I was actually in the city yesterday or the day before yesterday, and I was thinking about getting a new hat, but I was kind of tight on time. So maybe if we see you this summer, I'll have another hat as well. So,
Yeah, cool.
all right, man. Hey, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Go follow
Thank
John
you.
and enjoy the Turkish basketball. And thanks so much for your time.
Thanks a lot for having me, and that's the one of the podcasts that I listen, and I think it's good because it's consistent. So thanks to you.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. So a lot of fantastic stuff there. I really, like we had said, I really could have talked to him for hours and hours. And I do talk to him hours and hours when we meet up at various events on the European basketball circuit. Couple of real interesting things in there as well. The whole the story with Darussafaka, this new club, the title, the second division champions, and now being 3-1 at the top of right at there at the top of the standings. I think it's exciting to I think it's probably pretty exciting for Turkish fans to have another team there in Istanbul, not quote just the usual suspects of Anadolu Efes, Fenerbahce, Ulker, Galatasaray, and Besiktas being the main ones. So I think that I think that's got to be pretty cool. It's definitely a good team. Guys like like we said, Dudley and Sabudis and Gordon, Vidmar, Greer, Schürrle. It's a quality team, and Taylor Brown. It's a quality team, and I think that they will. I think it'll be. I think it should be exciting there. They've beaten. They've beaten Beşiktaş. They've beaten Türk Telekom. They did lose over the weekend at USAK. I definitely part of me definitely says make sure they're up there. Be nice to have them in the playoff picture. A new team, a new player in the market, if you will. But to be honest, actually, it kind of was a little bit on the alarming side. Some of the financial stuff that's coming out. Galatasaray having problems, and then you look at the status of the league and no TV really, and also no website. The Turkish Basketball Federation is actually pretty decent, and they show a lot of their games and also some of their youth tournament games over the during the season as well. National team stuff, they do show those on their website, but apparently the league is not really keeping up with everybody else. So, and just being part of the German league. Everybody knows that the TBL is something that they know, with all the money that's there and the big teams, big names, and big dreams, big goals, that they are definitely one that the German Beko BBL is looking as a competitor for being the top league. But when you even have Beko pulling out as a name sponsor, you got a little bit. You got to be wondering a little bit. And so, as much as you think with all the kids that are there, the national team, they did decent at the World Cup. Obviously, the youth national teams have been performing absolutely fantastic the last 2, 3, 4 years. And the youth European championships and whatnot. You got to be, I'm sure, there's there's thoughts that everything is healthy there, especially, you know, Turkish Airlines, EuroLeague, Beko, etc. But John presented a little bit different picture. It didn't say that it's dreary and everything else is going to, you know, it's going to hell or anything like that. But there are concerns there, and it's definitely something that we'll have to keep an eye on. Money is so important, and the economy is still doing pretty decent right there in Turkey. But if the economy turns downwards a little bit, I just wonder a little bit what kind of impact that would have. So much I think is riding on teams like Anadolu Efes and Fenerbahce Ulca finally getting to that elusive Final Four. That there's a lot of pressure there. So great chat, great follow with John. Of course, a little bit there's the Turkish where, you know, if you don't understand Turkish, it's a little bit of a kind of hard to get. But it's pronounced John, but it's C-A-N. So again, the Twitter feed is H-C-A-N, Pelister, P-E-L-I-S-T-E-R. Good follow, lots of great information. So definitely go out and look for him. So that's the show for this week. I do want to let you know what you're going to be listening to at the end. We're going to have the fantastic Sweet Georgia Brown that you heard a little bit at the beginning. This is from a French band called Lache Swing from Rouen, France, and they offer its audience a musical journey to the world of gypsy jazz. So everybody knows my love of jazz. So I hope you enjoy that. As far as the rest of this week goes, I probably won't be making it to any games this week. But we'll be anxiously we'll be watching the EuroLeague. We'll be watching other stuff as well, and so definitely look forward to some great action. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed the great interview. Follow us on Facebook. Taking the Charge is the group. I'm at Hein News on Twitter. Send us questions, send us comments. Love to hear from you. Love to discuss some things. Until next week, this has been Taking the Charge, and we will talk to you in a week's time.
Hi, this is Patrick Baumann, Secretary General of FIBA, and you're listening to Taking the Charge. Enjoy.